Today I am continuing to speak on the subject, God's wisdom. We can all have the wisdom of God. The Bible tells us in the book of James that if any of us lack wisdom, we could ask God, and that he would give it to us, and give it to us liberally. But we will only ask God for wisdom when we come to the conclusion that the wisdom that we have, the wisdom that we have gained from our much study, when we come to the conclusion that that wisdom, the wisdom we've gained from the world, is not sufficient to operate in God's kingdom, only then will we ask God to give us his wisdom, the wisdom from heaven. Solomon was such a man. Solomon came to the conclusion that the wisdom that he had obtained throughout his life was not sufficient. Even though he was the son of a wise king, he had enjoyed the company of the wise counselors of David, yet he still felt his inadequacy. And because of this, when God appeared to him in a dream and said, "What does your heart desire? Ask anything, and I will grant it," Solomon immediately said, "Lord, give me understanding to judge your people. Give me the wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong." And God did give him great wisdom, wisdom beyond every other man in the world. Let me read from 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 22 and 23. It says in verse 22 that King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. All the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. All the kings of the earth did not seek Solomon's presence to hear his homespun wisdom. They didn't gather around him, bring him precious gifts to hear his old wives' tales. They sought his presence to hear his wisdom that God had given him. If we read about Solomon without learning from Solomon, we waste our time. And what we learn from Solomon is of little value unless we apply what we've learned to ourselves. The Bible says that the things that were written aforetime was written for our learnings. Proverbs or wise sayings are no better than bumper stickers on an automobile if they are merely clever sayings. Unless they affect our life, they are of little value. And it makes little difference who composed these proverbs or the bumper stickers. But on the other hand, if we will profit from Solomon, if we will recognize what the kings of his day recognized, and if we do what they did, the kings of his day were wiser in their own right. They saw that Solomon was richer and wiser of all kings. He excelled all the kings of the earth in these two categories. Therefore, they traveled to hear him, to hear his wisdom. They were willing to listen, and they knew that the wisdom of Solomon came to him from the God of Israel. Solomon's wisdom was that which God had put in his mind. It was not the wisdom that he had accumulated during all of his palace years. He had spent his whole life in the palace, working with and around wise counselors. Yet the people knew that the wisdom that Solomon exhibited was wisdom from God. These are the facts we must recognize when we approach the Proverbs of Solomon. Just as today, students seek out the universities that have the sharpest professors and the best departments in which they plan to study, we also need to seek out the wisest of wise men to hear his wisdom and to recognize that it comes from God. This beautiful verse, Proverbs 1:5, tells us, if the wise man listens, he will increase his learnings. I have discovered, and you will too, the power of truth will eventually expel the influence of wrong if the learner responds to truth and accepts its principles into his life. When we eagerly devour truth, we grow in truth. But when we relish error and delight in the failures of others, we live in a climate of sin. I know that it is popular, even among biblical scholars, to dwell on the negative side of Solomon's experience. They have spoken of his ruthless personality. They have admitted that he was militarily clever, and they have dealt with his hundreds of wives and concubines. They list the expensive and expansive treasures of Solomon, his large number of horses and horsemen. They can remind us of the testimony that the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones. However, in dwelling on the wealth of Solomon and on the wrongs that he committed, we miss the full impact of the truth that he represented. I'm going to end the lesson right here. But before I step away from the microphone, I'd like to mention the fact that many people today have shifted their focus. They have shifted their focus from the message to the messenger. There is a need today to refocus. We need to get our eyes and ears on the message. People today, in scriptural things, are much like the world in America today. In the last administration, the focus was not on the policy, but on the person. They didn't like the person, so they rejected his policy. But Paul tells us in the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, we preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to tell us, we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the greatness of the power may be of God and not of us.